Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
You gotta ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show Podcast. I am your barely awake host, the Monster. It's Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. And it's not even 7 o'clock. Thanks, body clock. But I had to get this done today. And more specifically, right now. Because today is Mother's Day and I have a busy day ahead. So, as always, I try to plan to get these podcasts out on a timely basis, like last Friday, but my schedule got changed, so I could not get that done until right now. So what you're going to hear in the background is my Keurig system making me some nice Starbucks blonde coffee. I really need it. So pardon me if I sound like I'm really dead, because I am, because I went shopping a lot yesterday, as well as having to deal with the kids. And if that wasn't busy enough, I want to give you some information about what had happened this past week, which is kind of, again, a good thing. It's more work for me, but I'm having fun with it. So, if you remember last week, I canceled the science fiction book club that I wanted to do on Dune. Well, this past week, I was able to produce a couple of podcast promos for my library for summer reading. Now, what's kind of cool about that is that it's going to be played in 400 schools. So times that by however many students, that's a wide audience that's going to be listening to me talk about the summer reading program. Now, I'm going to play kind of like two promos. But basically, the two favorite ones that people are liking a lot more is one that I did in a Vader voice, which, thanks to YouTube, I was able to modulate my voice to where it sounds like Vader, and I got the scuba sounds and played music in the background, so it sounds really good. But the very last one, which I think was probably the better read, because I was able to change the messaging a bit and make it a little bit more... Thank God it's ready. Okay, to make it a little bit more energetic, because I can be very blah. It's okay. It's Monday. Like Eeyore kind of energy. But I focus on getting it as high energy as possibly can, plus the music cues and sound effects, I think, worked much, much better. So I'm going to play you now the Vader version of that promo.
This is Lord Vader. I have an important message for the Miami-Dade Public Library System. I feel a disturbance in the Force, which means that summer is just around the corner. Join me for the 2017 summer reading program and bring order to the galaxy. Just visit your nearest Miami-Dade Public Library branch from Saturday, June 10th through Saturday, August 5th to sign up for the program. Together, we can build a better world through summer reading. It is your destiny. Everyone who registers will be able to receive a ticket to the Miami Heat game. The more you read, the better your chances to win an impressive grand prize. Most impressive. Visit mdpls.org or call your local branch for more information.
So that was the Vader voice. And I've heard it many times already, and it's not bad. It's really not bad. I'm more impressed by how it came all together, but I didn't think that I did a great job of it, but it was enough that people liked it. So I'm happy with that. So the second one that I'm going to be playing is, the very last promo that I did, and it's just me talking, but I changed the writing or the treatment of what I was going to say. Again, I punched up with some sound effects as well as some music. So let me play that.
Y'all ready for this?
Hi, I'm Montgomery with the Miami-Dade Public Library System. Summer is just around the corner, and that means it's time for the 2017 Summer Reading Program. Students who register for the Build a Better World Summer Reading Contest will be able to receive a ticket to see a Miami Heat game. All you have to do is just visit your nearest Miami-Dade Public Library branch from Saturday, June 10th through Saturday, August 5th to sign up. It's just that easy, and the more that you participate, the better your chances to win a great grand prize. Visit mdpls.org or call your local branch for more information. So that sounds a lot better, a lot more energetic than I'm usually able to do. But again, I think what worked is the sound effects that was used minimally but effectively. So very happy with the results. So again, that's what I did this past week. So hence why my time is really getting tight to do a lot of things that I want to do. And unfortunately, things are going to have to be prioritized. So again, I had another one that I did with Watto. So if you listen to my Monster Sci-Fi Show promo I did with Watto, I kind of used bits of that. But as my cousin pointed out, and I knew this also, is that not a whole lot of people would recognize who the hell Watto's voice was, or me talking to Watto about joining the summer reading program, which there will be teachers that I know that will get the reference. But in any case, I have 5 promos, one without the music, 2 with music that you just heard with my last one, 1 without the sound effects, and the last one you just heard with, and then you have the Watto and Vader promo. So out of the 5, the person that gave me the responsibility to do forwarded it over to the schools, and either they'll pick one and they'll play it throughout to the rest of the summer, like for the next 3 or 4 weeks, or they'll play all 5, 1 per week, who knows. But still, that's really cool. And I'm really happy that finally we're doing something that's a little bit more progressive in the way we do outreach, because I'm all about working smarter, not harder. Alright, so enough of the shenanigans. Let's get on to some tidbit news. Again, I do have the big 3 that I will be talking about in just a moment. But the tidbit news is something that I did almost a year ago to the date. There was a lot of news about shows that canceled, that got renewed, shows that are getting picked up. So let's start off right off the bat. Earlier during the week, Timeless has been canceled, as well as Time After Time, which is some time ago. But at the time, Making History was still the only sci-fi time travel story still on the air. But in a turn of events, Making History got canceled, and Timeless got picked up for season 2. So that's a bit odd twist there. Gotham has been renewed for season 4. X-Files, we are getting a season 11. iZombie season 4 is going to be picked up. Krypton is now picked up as a full series on the Sci-Fi Channel. Black Lightning has been picked up for a full season on the CW. We have American God Season 2 already ordered. So kudos to them for doing that. And then there is a Thea Rossi, who played Shades in Luke Cage, is coming back for Season 2. We're looking at possibly, I think, 2018 for the season for Daredevil to come out and Luke Cage to come out. So summer for Daredevil and then Luke Cage for the winter of 2018. We are going to get a Deadpool animated series on FXX by Donald Glover. So he's going to be writing and producing that. And later this week, so kind of going off from all the renewals, later this week we're supposed to get some news about Star Trek Discovery. So whether that's a new trailer or an official release date, that's going to be coming up sometime this week around May 17th. So again, if something happens, I will be talking about that and give you more information on it. All right, so the big three items I'm going to be talking about is the second trailer to Blade Runner 2049. I'm going to also talk about the Hellboy reboot, in which my wife, Jennifer, and a co-worker from mine work, where I am, hence the co-working. Her name is Liz, and she gave me her reaction on that. Are going to really kind of flesh out the arguments on both sides as to why this is a good or a bad thing. And then after that, I'm going to be talking about Judge Dredd. It looks like it is coming back, not as a movie, but as a series, a TV series, which really gets me excited. So let me get started first with Blade Runner, and I'm going to be playing the trailer for this new movie.
Every civilization was built off the back of a disposable workforce. But I can only make so many. Shh. Happy birthday.
There is an order to things. That's what we do here. We keep order. The world is built on a wall that separates kind. Tell either side there's no wall, you bought a war.
You're a cop. I had your job once. I was good at it.
Ask you some questions. The key to the future is finally unearthed. Bring it to me. They know you're here.
Told you, you're special.
Your story isn't over yet. There's still a page left.
All right, so that was the trailer for Blade Runner 2049. That is coming out on October 6th. So, as I've mentioned before, I am not going to be watching any more new trailers from this point on, because, again, two is enough, and by the time you see a third one, too much is already given away. So, screw that. I'm not going to do this to myself. I've done that before, and I've learned a lesson. Okay, now, I really wanted to get into, like, a full breakdown of the shots that's going on. But honestly, I don't have the time. And plus, on top of that, which is a revelation to me the past couple of weeks, I wanted to mention, is that my wife has never seen Blade Runner. I know. How can I still be married to a woman that's never seen Blade Runner? I'm confounded by that statement. So, the question is, because there are now multiple versions of Blade Runner, I'm in a quandary as to what am I going to do? Am I going to show her the original version that I grew up with, in which you hear the narration from Harrison Ford, you get the happier ending at the end, not that kind of happy ending, pervs. The happier ending in which Rachel and Deckard escape into the forest and you see daylight for the first time? Or do I give her the more, I guess, truer and more complete version, which is the final cut, in which there is no narration, the ending is chopped off at the end, so it's a lot more, I'm not going to say bleaker, but it just ends with Deckard closing the door to the elevator and then cut to black. And there's a couple of other shots in there, a little bit more graphic in its violence. So I'm kind of have to really research as to how I'm going to present this to her, because I want her to watch it. I want them to have a big discussion on Blade Runner before the movie comes out, and then we both can talk about that as well as Mr. Gene. But again, the things you find out after almost being married 20 years later, oh my God, it's almost devastating. I don't know how I can carry on. But let me say this. The trailer looks fantastic. And I'm getting even more and more excited. And if you go online, you can find this on YouTube. But someone put together the side-by-side comparison of the original trailer to this new one. And it's almost identical. Almost a shot-for-shot identical. And one of the moments that I just had to, like, catch myself, since Dave Bautista, who plays Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'll talk about that in a moment, when you see his picture, Roy Batty by Rutger Hauer, his picture shows up in the trailer the exact same moment. So that, I knew, my instincts was yelling at me that he was going to kind of be like the new Roy Batty. So I hope that plays out to be the case. But man, I'm just more eager to see how this all plays out. So one of the things that I wrote in the show notes, yeah, is this little quick line of dialogue. Too bad she won't live to see this new trailer for Blade Runner 2049, which is a line that Gene and I go back and forth and just have a laugh at that line. But where's Rachel? To quote Batman. There's no Rachel in this movie. The only thing that I was thinking about, are they going to make any kind of reference to her? And there is a quick shot of a rock. I guess it looks like some kind of, there's a number etched into a rock that's on the ground. To me, that seems as if, my impression is, that's where she's buried. They have to acknowledge that she has died. At the very least. Not as if, who's Rachel? I don't want to hear that. Because I would lose my mind if that's the case. But in any case, I'm pretty sure she has died. And if that's the case, that's fine. But as long as they make some kind of connection that she was with Deckard, and that happened, and there's her gravesite. So that's what I'm hoping, that's what that is. So that's the only thing I'm going to go into that specific with the trailer, is that if you look at the trailer, you see a rock, and it has dates on it. So I'm thinking that's going to be the date in which she died. So, in any case, it looks fantastic. I cannot be more pleased with the look, the tone. And even though, you know, I was like not crazy about Ryan Gosling in the first idea of him being in this movie, but screw it. I've grown to really like Ryan a lot. So, I'm eager. I can't wait to talk about this in the future because, again, it's just around the corner. In my head, it's literally just around the corner. I got so much things, so many things lined up that I just can't focus Hence why I had to make sure I'm on a timeline. All right, so enough of me rambling. So the next big thing is going to be this whole Hellboy reboot. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? So I'm going to play the trailer and I'll come back and I'm going to read to you the two comments that, again, my wife and my friend Liz wrote, and then I'll give you my two takes on that. I'll be right back in a moment.
Watch your hands on Alpha.
Pardon?
Welcome to the Bureau for Paranormal Research and Defense. There are things that go bump in the night, Agent Myers. And we are the ones who bump back. Hellboy.
Well, come on in. Meet the rest of the family.
Abraham Sapien.
Liz Schumann. It's a beautiful name.
Don't worry, Boy Scout. She'll take care of you.
These freaks.
They give me the creeps.
Really?
Every time the media gets a look at him, they come running to me. I'm running out of lies.
If there's trouble, all us freaks have is each other.
What the hell is that?
Something big.
In the absence of light, darkness prevails. 60 years ago, they tried to destroy the world. They're back.
Master. Oh, my God.
Behind this door, ancient evil.
Oh, well.
Let me go in and say hi.
Gonna be okay?
How big can it be?
Alright, so we have now news, official news from Mike Mignola. He wrote earlier this week about there's gonna be a new Hellboy movie. We have Neil Marshall, who is gonna be the new director, who did the movie called Descent and I guess an episode or two of Game of Thrones, and David Harbour from Stranger Things, who plays the sheriff, which is the new series, season 2 is dropping in October, I forget the date, is going to be our new Hellboy. So, the question is, what about Guillermo del Toro as well as Ron Perlman, the team that actually brought Hellboy to life? My take on that, right from the very beginning, I've talked about Guillermo del Toro being extremely busy and him trying to pitch that Star Wars movie with the Jabba the Hutt Godfather storyline. He's way busy. I mean, the fact that he's not even doing Pacific Rim 2, I mean, that to me, I would have been more interested in that than seeing another Hellboy, considering Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. Wow. What a disappointment in that second movie. It was a complete mess. First one, perfect. Spot on perfect. But honestly, I could have done away with that second movie. I can almost wish it away. Now, having said that, did Ron Perlman do anything wrong? No, I love Ron. Ron's awesome. And he does his best with Hellboy. But that second movie, it's god-awful. Could we bring him back for a third? Sure. There's no issues with that, considering the makeup is really that good. And it's prosthetics. So it's not as if you have to worry about him aging. The makeup will cover that. The question is, if we're going to treat this like a franchise, and I've talked about various versions of like Indiana Jones, when you have a character that's beloved and the actor that's associated with that is almost synonymous. So you can't think of Hellboy without thinking about Ron Perlman. But you can think about James Bond with different actors. So if this is what's going to happen, let's try to be open-minded. We want the series to continue. We need to have other actors portray that character. And we could get a side of Hellboy that we've never seen before, or more, I guess, basically it's a different portrayal. Kind of like Doctor Who. We have the exact same character, more or less, but the actor that portrays him gives his own spin, gives his own quirks, kind of makes it his own version of that character. So that would work on that end. So I'm okay really on board with this because of the fact that the Golden Circle, Golden Circle is the Kingsman movie. The second one sucked. And I've always said that directors who do the sequel of the first movie that was highly successful never really masters outshining what they did in the first one. They cannot capture lightning in a bottle again. Look at Star Wars. George Lucas wrote it. He directed it. But then the second movie, Erwin Kershner directed it. And I'm blanking on the guy's name. who wrote the second Empire Strikes Back. So the two of them did a much better story. And some people think that it's out. Shines the original. So I think you kind of have to treat this, like I said with James Bond, interject new blood, new actors, new perspectives to keep this franchise going. So considering you have that going into this new franchise, this new movie that's being produced, I want to read you some reactions. I'm going to start off with my wife first. Okay. She writes, "The fact is, I've been a big Hellboy fan since I read the first comics. I've always been interested in folk tales, tall tales, legends, and mythology. The funny thing is that Hellboy is the only comic that I've ever read that actually incorporates these types of things in the storyline. I like Guillermo del Toro for his work in Pan's Labyrinth and Pacific Rim. That being said, I really don't care for the second Hellboy movie or third or etc. What I care about is the fact that the movie discussed the characters from the comic. The second movie absolutely had nothing to do with it. I'm so tired of Hollywood taking a story and effing it up to suit their needs. They did that to Percy Jackson and just about every Stephen King novel. I really don't care whether people believe Mike Mignola is behind stopping of Hellboy 3. Hellboy is his creation, so therefore he can do whatever he wants with him. I'm hoping that Hellboy reboot shows his true potential as a creature of two worlds. He is like what they called Neil Gaiman's character Odd in the Graveyard book, a boy who can walk between two worlds. Hellboy is the son of a devil, the one who is meant to rule our world. He can communicate with the dead and the creatures of the underworld, the fae, angels, and saints. There are so many stories and legends that Mignola uses in his comic, Norse legends, Chinese, Russian, Celtic, etc., that there's no need to create something as nonsensical as the Golden Army." So, thank you on that, honey. So, yeah, we got to actually meet Mike Mignola at Tate's Comics when he came to sign down. And that's her thing. I love Hellboy, and I do occasionally read some of the comics, but she really goes to the full nth degree and knows a lot more about the mythology, the tall tales and the folk tales, of kind of like what Supernatural does, in which they take those ideas and those concepts and integrate them into their storyline. Mike does that as well. So she's more opposed to them doing an original story because, again, there's a wealth of storyline that you can bring to the big screen. And why the hell not? So, rather than doing, again, the Golden Army was a complete waste. All right, so let's move on to Liz's comments. She writes, "While I am extremely excited to hear there's another Hellboy in the works, I do have to say I was disappointed to hear that Guillermo del Toro will not be on the helm for this one. At the same time, I eagerly anticipate the approach and perspective of the new people involved. I'm sure Neil Marshall will make an excellent director, and the fact that Mike Mignola is still part of the writing team is the most important part to me. Anything that is involved in writing, anything that he's involved is going to be a must-see. Also, the fact that one of the producers is part of the Dark Horse team piqued my interest. The only other initially disappointed thing for me is that Ron Perlman will not be playing Hellboy. To me, he is the quintessential person to play this role. He leaves some very literally big shoes to fill, but when I look at David Harbour's face, I can potentially see him playing that part. One way or another, I'm such a big fan of all things Hellboy that I can't wait to check it out. It will be interesting to see how the negotiations pan out. Keep me posted if you hear anything news." So, of course, you will know because I work with you. And, of course, anyone who listens to my podcast, I will keep you posted on that as well. So, again, pros and cons on both sides, but I'm more pro on this considering, again, I think that what soured me is really Hellboy 2. So I'm eager to see this get back on track and let's get into that whole universe of Hellboy. So, yay. All right, so let's move on to the last bit of news, which is Judge Dredd coming to the small screen now. So here's the trailer of the 2012 movie with Carl Urban, the better one. I'll be back in a moment.
Brain feel as if time is passing at 1% its normal speed.
If we play this right, we could take the whole city.
Peachtree's is the manufacturing base for all the slow-mo in Mega City 1.
You know how often we get a judge up in Peachtree's?
Well, you got one now.
She has control of everything. Levels 1 to 200.
This is Mama. Somewhere in this block are two judges.
That's not good.
I want him dead.
We're gonna have to go through him. Rookie, you ready?
Yeah.
You look ready.
Fire!
Judgment time.
Let's finish this.
Mama is not the law. I'm the law. Sentence is death.
right, so if you got a chance to watch that movie with Carl Urban, one of the great things that you'll take away from that is that the helmet always stays on. What I meant by that is that some actors have to show their face. They don't want to be hidden by makeup. They want to be in a costume. They want to show their face. A perfect example, if we look at Sylvester Stallone's version of Judge Dredd, he wears the helmet at the beginning and at the end. And in the middle, not so much. Carl Urban, who, if you know who he is, he is the new Dr. McCoy on Star Trek, never takes off the helmet. He is always in character. He embodies that character. There was no need for ego for us to know who he is underneath that helmet. He really brings that character to life. And even though it is a small movie and it's a small storyline because it's more enclosed as opposed to world exploring, it's a fantastic film. I mean, I've never been that entertained and disgusted at the exact same time. And if you get to the ending, you'll know why. So, but it's very satisfying. I'm very eager to see how this all pans out because, believe it or not, there's just way, way too many things that are going on for television. I just started watching Mr. Robot last night, and I saw the first episode, which I really loved, and I could not get enough of it. And I saw the first episode of The Expanse. So I'm behind on a couple of years for other great episodes or other great shows that have already aired. This is like a golden age of television that I've never ever thought would be possible. You know, considering how cable had a stronghold on programming. And yet even then, 1,000 channels, they had nothing on. But now we have so much content and you can actually find that niche audience that would appreciate a series like Judge Dredd. If they do this correctly, I'm not saying you have to get Carl Urban, but it would be fantastic if you get him to do this. Because honestly, the last Star Trek movie in which he has a bigger role than the Into Darkness movie, I would love to see him do this series. So I'm kind of on board just in the concept of bringing Judge Dredd to the small screen. I'm all on board with that. Now, how they're going to do this, I don't know. But again, fans who have watched this movie since 2012 have been clamoring for a continuation of this storyline, or at least this version of that comic book. So if they do this right, TV comic book adaptations are the hottest thing right now. Shows like that are being picked up. I think there's even a Valiant comic book, I forgot the title of it, that's also can be picked up as a TV series. So there is so much opportunities now to bring shows or characters to the shows like these, because so now is the perfect time to bring out all these characters, do incredible things. I'm excited for this finally, but I don't know what to expect other than it's coming. And that's all that I care about, is that we're going to get a new Judge Dredd series. So as long as Sylvester Stallone is not in it, I'm good with that. Carl Urban's in it, even better. But regardless, I'm very excited with that kind of premise and that storyline. So on that note, I'm not going to talk any further because I'm getting very phlegmy and congested. So I do apologize if you hear that in my voice. But again, I'm still working off of the stupid bronchitis or something, whatever. So I can't get rid of this still. So, and again, I'm late on this podcast, but I want to get it out. And I have other responsibilities to take care of right now. So, on that note, I want to thank all my fans and all your fans' mothers. A happy Mother's Day. And this podcast makes a great Mother's Day present. No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. I don't care if it's free. It has no value. Other than to you. If you're listening to this and you're enjoying it, there's your value. So, next week, Tuesday, I'm going to be finally watching Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 with my co-host, Mr. Gene. And we've never watched, or at least we never reviewed, the first movie. So I'm going to review that movie with Gene. So we're going to be doing Volume 1 and 2. So that's going to be Tuesday. We'll watch, I'll record. So hopefully that night I'll have it done. And then the Ghost in the Shell versus episode is going to be delayed at least about a week, if not two. But later this week, Friday, and again, I'm working Friday, but I'm going to be watching Alien Covenant. But again, I've never reviewed Prometheus. So I'll do Prometheus and Covenant as a doubleheader, and that'll be on the next podcast. So again, my apologies. I'm only just one man, but what a man I am, considering the stuff that I'm doing. And I'm very happy with that. So don't forget, in my show notes, fill out that survey. Give me support, and that is going to help me gather information so I can get advertisers onto the show. Again, the show will still be free, but those advertisers will help me pay for this podcast. So I'm very grateful for you guys listening, but I need your support. All right, so with that, thank you very much for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. Sci-fi, from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.